B-Pod Studios.
This is the DraftKings Over-Under Show with the Bankroll Boys, Joe Murray and Dan Lifschitz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Well, welcome in, DraftKings Over-Under Show. We are the Bankroll Boys. I'm Joe Murray. He is Dan Lifschitz. Here until 9 a.m. today. And if you are up bright and early, it's the only place where you can actually call in and listen to today's games, whether it's in college football or tomorrow's NFL games. There's a boxing match tonight. There's UFC tonight. I mean, that's a pretty good weekend for sports. We got a pretty good sports day here on the Sports Hub as well. We got a big one tonight in the SEC. Can be heard here on the Sports Hub between Alabama and Georgia. Great game. I thought it wouldn't happen, Dan. Looks like it's probably on as of now. And the old their coach there.
I'd be surprised at this point if they don't play. I mean, it's, you know, Saturday morning, bright and early. At this point, you probably got to play the game.
What about Patriots-Broncos tomorrow? Surprise if that one goes tomorrow.
I think if the Patriots were traveling, it would be a different story. I think you.
What about Broncos? They have to travel.
Right, but they're not the COVID team. So I think the COVID team traveling, which is why, despite what the show, you know, the 2-6 show says on this station, I think that's the problem.
I didn't hear anything, so I'll take your word for it.
Oh, they decided that it was Cam Newton's fault and Stephon Gilmore's fault, and definitely not the NFL who made the team travel together in an airplane. Buses.
So it wasn't like the Pats used two airplanes.
Right, yeah. No, they definitely did not try and be a safe away. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Interesting take
there. All right there. So we have a lot to talk about today. Again, college football, the Nooners, I like to call them the old Noonskis. Clemson, Georgia Tech, Pittsburgh, Miami, Auburn, South Carolina. How about Tennessee in their home winning streak today? Versus Kentucky. So we got that at the Nooner. We got Notre Dame. I think we have that game today.
Yep.
Here on the Sports Hub versus Louisville. A game I have a pick on today, Dan. Texas A&M, Mississippi State.
I don't know. Me too.
Uh-oh.
I bet you were on opposite sides.
Oh, no. North Carolina versus Florida State. And then we got BC. Virginia. So everyone's going to be watching Georgia and Alabama. And poor little BC, 13-point underdogs playing at a tough place to play, Virginia Tech. But I don't know if there's fans there or whatever. So
I don't know. I'll have to take a look.
Could be a different story. So that is your college, not to mention there's a bunch of other games today. And then your NFL slate this weekend. Woo-hoo! Listen to this one. You got your Broncos Patriots, as we discussed. We have Brown Steelers, which I think is a good one. And then you have Tampa Bay Packers, Brady Rogers.
Yep.
And an interesting one at night between the Rams and the 49ers. And then Monday night has two games. Of course, we're in the COVID era. Chiefs, Bills, Cardinals, Cowboys. And then the Ofer Giants are favorites against Washington. And then, of course, there's Texans-Titans coming off their win this week, Bengals-Colts. A lot of stuff on the table this week. So I can't wait to get into that schedule. I just wanted to bring up something regarding last night's games, both Major League Baseball and in college. First, when it comes to baseball, how about the Astros? How about the Astros? Everyone hates them. Baseball's been down. And I feel like this is a good story. This is something good for baseball. You want to have a villain, right? The Astros are the villain. Down 3-0 to the Rays. Dude, there was like three guys I knew on the Rays. Like, literally. Like, I'm like, who are these guys? They're good. You pitch Blake Snell last night and you take him out in the fifth. That's what cost him the game. This is what I love about baseball, is when you complain about the manager's decisions and, you know, they made a little run late in the game, but that was it. And the Astros are hitting the baseball. And then the Dodgers look down and out early. I don't know what the Braves are doing with their pitching staff early on in that one, but Mookie Betts stunk early and then turned it on later in the game.
Had that nice catch,
as you mentioned. So the Dodgers now back in it. The Astros force a game seven, and we have that today. Midday today.
Yeah, 4:30. Or sorry, 8:30.
Is it four? Okay, okay.
Yeah,
all right.
The Astros game is prime time. The Dodgers getting pushed to midday.
Okay, fine. This is good. We get this today. And listen, if you're not a college football fan, at least you get baseball during the day. I know the games have been long. Those games have been exciting. So that's good. We'll give you those lines today at some point. I haven't seen them yet. I don't even know who's pitching at this point right now. So we'll have that coming up in a little bit. And then in college football last night, we kind of discussed the games on the podcast. SMU went to Tulane. Tulane's been known to blow leads later in games this year. They had, what was a tie game at halftime. SMU missed a field goal at one point. SMU won the game in overtime by 3 points. The spread was 6. Tulane hasn't beaten the top 25 team. And I think over 50 tries is what I saw last night. So tough blow for Tulane, but I didn't think SMU played its best game last night. That's
no,
my own
they
opinion.
Clearly were not playing their best, and I watched almost the full game. I didn't see the second half of the BYU game, but I watched almost the full game.
Quarterback from Tulane kind of impressed me a little bit. Rookie quarterback, maybe he got a lot of time. There wasn't really much of a pass rush in that game, but I thought he looked good.
Keon Howard.
I thought he looked good. And then the night game, I think, was the one everyone wanted to watch. On the podcast, Dan, my suggestion was this was a BYU game or nothing. There was so many people that I admire that were on Houston last night.
Who was the quarterback for Tulane last night? Was it Pratt?
Pratt. Pratt was the quarterback.
Howard was
it. Dude, he looked good. I'm telling you. But you want to talk about who looked good. You had Zach Wilson versus Tune. That was a damn good quarterback matchup. And early on, it was all Zach Wilson. I think Zach Wilson's an NFL caliber quarterback. Now, his size is going to be an issue.
I was going to say, I don't know if he's
He's got arm strength and speed, and he's sleek, right? Their offense is kind of like out of the Andy Reid offense a little bit. If you watch, there was a play around the red zone where they just, like, did, like, a fake screen to the outside, and then he just did a little pitch to a tight end in the middle of the field. Unbelievable play call. That was a damn good game. It went over the total. It should have landed on the total. The total was 62. Like, that game, nobody scored for the first, like, I don't know, like 8 minutes or 12 minutes of the third quarter. And then Houston scored, went for two, and that was it. That was all they had the rest of the game there. And then BYU just went on a run, man. They recovered an onside kick. They didn't respond to it, but they had 3 3-and-outs at the end of the game. BYU has a chance to be a New Year's Six team. I think they're going to go undefeated, Dan. I really do. Now, last night, they faced adversity and they came back. Houston impressed me, too, with just their physical team. Like, they got some ballers. Like, guys that I think are going to go NFL. But overall, looking at the number, BYU covered. And in both games went over the total last night. Any surprises for you in those games?
No, I mean, we discussed on the podcast. Said the Tulane spread. I thought that if you're gonna take one of the two favorites, I would have taken BYU. BYU was down at half. It was by six.
2014 at half.
Yep. And then Houston, I think, scored to open the second half. Right. They took a bigger lead, and then that looked like it was it for BYU.
It went up 26-14, and then boom, here comes BYU.
Yep. And I mean, that was it. 22 straight points or whatever it was by BYU to, you know, close out the game. We talked about on the podcast how important that game was for BYU. It was the first time they had been tested, really, in my opinion, all year. And they responded. Now, I didn't get to see the second half, Joe. I saw the first half, and I think Wilson, the first throw from Wilson was the first touchdown pass. Was just it was an
oh NFL. Down the left sideline, sick.
Absolute
first play of the game.
Time.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
He threw another one on third down. You'll see it right here. We're watching it right now. Just right, third down, third and long on in goal line situation, and just not a lob, just a rifle.
Yep.
The kid's good. They're 5-0. Texas State, Western Kentucky, Boise. Northern Alabama, San Diego State. Two tough games in that schedule.
Yeah.
Boise, they can run the table, dude.
They could, and I do think that they're – I don't think they will get a Final Six spot because their toughest games will be against Boise, Houston, and San Diego State. It's not enough. You're not going to
– So let me ask you this while we're on this. Gambling-wise, if you were to make a bet, who's got a more realistic chance for New Year's Six, BYU or Marshall?
I'd say
I think Marshall's going to run the table.
I'd say Marshall, just because
conference. One's independent. One's guys a conference.
I'd argue that at least Conference USA, you'd probably have more than three legitimate games. Like Marshall this year, their schedule.
Marshall beat Appalachian State.
Yep.
Who's ranked?
So you have App State. You have La Tech. You have Charlotte. Who's comparable there? I'd say App State is probably the best win out of Boise State
or San Diego.
But I'd probably put Houston and Boise State as the second and third best wins assuming BYU beats Boise State. I think it's tough.
There's a bet out there if they'll be in the New Year's Six. But that's who I'm looking at this year is the two teams that could get there if they run the table. But I also saw that they think USC is going to run the table. I saw projections. They think USC because their schedule is not hard. And who's the Ohio State was one of the teams. I wouldn't be surprised if it's Clemson, Ohio State again in the final. I'm trying to find out who's going to be the other two.
I do not think that USC is running the table.
Okay, so this was a projection from schedule makers. I saw it last. I watched this formula thing on ESPN.
Home versus Arizona State at Arizona, at Utah, home versus Colorado, home versus Washington State at UCLA. Then they have another Pac-12 game that's yet to be determined, and then the Pac-12 championship.
They should be favored in all those games, though.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, Arizona State's on the rise.
At Utah?
Utah's down, man.
I mean, yeah, they don't have Zach Moss, and obviously.
I think Huntley's done, too.
Huntley's done, too.
Their defense got ripped apart. That coaches wasn't even that, like they got furloughed like at one point. I don't know. I'm just saying you look at them, they should be favored in every game.
But they're whoever they face in the Pac-12 championship is going to be good. So that my point is it doesn't really matter because they're going to end up being facing at least one really good team. I maybe they're on the table. It's definitely possible seeing that schedule. I'm just let's see what the other Pac-12 team they get scheduled and let's see who they face in the championship.
All right, Dan, here's one other thing. We'll do this NFL. We're throwing a lot at you at the beginning here, just a little bit of discussion, a little bit of gambling. If you were to place my money on an over team this weekend to get the win, who would be the favorite between the Falcons at the Vikings, the Giants hosting Washington? Is there another over? Oh, or the Dolphins. The Jets. Sorry, Jets. Or the Jets at the Dolphins.
I will not be choosing the Jets. I won't be. Gase is just a mess. They released Le'Veon Bell. I honest to God, I don't know what's going on in that room. If you're forcing me to choose between the Giants at home or Atlanta on the road.
Against the Vikings.
Yeah. I'm probably going with the Giants.
Oh, Dan.
I am. I mean, at least, honestly, I think the Redskins might. Sorry. Apologies. The football team
that's right.
is. I'm watching and listening as the Redskins still on the gambling website. The football team without Dwayne Haskins is significantly worse. I like Kyle Allen. It's a divisional game. I think at least in divisional games, anything can happen. The Atlanta, do they look? I mean, Julio's back. I don't know. Maybe they get a coach bump there. I don't feel confident in taking Atlanta, especially the way that Minnesota's looked the last 2 weeks. I mean, to be honest, if Minnesota kicks the field goal last week, they probably win the game. That's my opinion.
I think they would have had a better chance of winning the game.
Me
yes.
too. So they're probably 2-3. I would say if you're making me choose a side between Atlanta and the Giants, I would rather take the Giants.
Okay. All that to start the show today. As we'll start getting into the games here. But I at least thought that was a good discussion. Over teams that can get a win this weekend. I guess how would you rank them, and would you bet any of them?
Colin, I want to hear your thoughts on this, because I
a team's going to go over 5 weeks.
I'm certainly not confident in either of those teams winning.
I'm going to look it up, but I wonder how long a team went over last year. I'm just curious on that. And then college football, what a slate today. And I'm curious what people think about this Alabama Georgia game tonight that can be heard here on the Sports Hub. We know Alabama can score points. Their defense is soft. I'm going to say it. They're soft. Now, it's early in the season. Okay, they're what, 4 weeks in now, that team? The Alabama defense gets better as it goes. It's just, are they going to be soft against that Georgia team that started soft last week offensively and then turned it on? I think their defense had a lot to do with their offensive performance, but
Can Stetson Bennett perform under the lights in a primetime program, knowing that you need to score more than 20 points? I mean, right? I think that's fair assumption.
Because
right?
they've been doing 20. They got 44 last week, but let's face it, they got a lot of favors in there. Kid Stetson, though, he's on the rise. I'll tell you that much. He played much better in that second half last week.
Yeah, he was great.
I'm just curious if he can do it against that Alabama team.
It's a very big difference playing against Tennessee and then on the road at Alabama. I mean, it's not comparable.
All right, let's get it going. 617-779-0985. He's Dan Lifschatz. I'm Joe Murray. This is the DraftKings Over-Under Show here on the Sports Hub.
DraftKings Over-Under Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub. Who you got? These guys have the answer. Joe Murray, Dan Lifschatz. The DraftKings Over-Under Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
DraftKings Over-Under Show. I'm Joe Murray. He's Dan Lifschatz. The phone number is 617-779-0985. Any game you want to discuss today, college, NFL this weekend. There's a big boxing fight tonight as well. I have a play on that one later on. I had a chance to talk to one of my old boxing buddies last night. And went on national radio last night, Dan.
Nice.
And did a little boxing talk as well. So got a play for you on that one. Much better than the tennis play I gave you a week ago, which for those listening, I'm very embarrassed about. Very, very embarrassed, and I'm getting back up on the horse today. Not actual horses, but we're going outside of the regular sports and going to boxing. I might even have a UFC play. Who knows? All right, where do you want to start today? Want to do a little college football out of the gate? NFL?
I want to address the BYU defense thing that people are talking about. Apparently, BYU's defense isn't good. I want to go over this quickly. 3 points to Navy, 7 points to Troy, 14 points to a 3-1 La Tech team. They give up 20 to UTSA in a look-ahead spot, and they give up 26 to Houston and score 43. And their defense allows 7 points in the fourth quarter when it matters.
6 points.
6 points, whatever.
My thing is this. They weren't great last year, but I thought Houston was awesome. Toon was like, I don't know, what do you throw, 16 completions in a row? Well, listen, late in the game, they made three consecutive stops when they needed it. They had sacks, coverage plays. They had an interception on a two-point conversion. The defense is good.
You allow over 20 points one time and your defense stinks? The hell are you talking about? What are you watching? So yeah,
wait. I think they're a New Year's 6 team. Never said national or anything like that. They're not going to get in there. A one loss Bama, one loss Georgia, hell, a one loss. You know, I'm trying to think Big Ten Florida. Team. Florida will probably be in the mix there. But I think New Year's 6 is really. Who knows? Maybe they'll put Marshall and BYU in the New Year's 6 game. Who knows? But those are the two teams. I mean, unless you want to give me another team, is there another team out there that could be deserving of that New Year's 6 that's UCF already lost.
To Tulsa.
Memphis. Could SMU? Oof, I don't think so. I don't know if they're good enough either. I'm just thinking. I'm trying to spitball here a little bit. Instead of just like saying, oh, this guy or that guy, like have an actual conversation.
SMU's game is now next week, but they face number 8 Cincinnati.
Okay. Who you don't love.
I think they are incredibly overrated. Then they face Navy at Temple, at Tulsa. I think you get caught in one of those games if you're SMU. And then home versus Houston. So I think you have probably 3 pretty tough games in a row. Tulsa's underrated, criminally underrated. If you saw the opening spread in that Tulsa-Cincinnati game this week, it was 4. Tulsa was a 4-point dog. So, I mean, you know, they're getting respect from the bookmakers than from the general public, in my, you know, belief. And I'm not really sure where, you know, the whole Cincinnati love comes from. Are they a top 25 team? Yes, but, you know, number 8 in the country is crazy.
Dan, if it was right now, today, you might not like this. My top 4 teams are Clemson, Alabama, Georgia, Notre Dame. And we haven't seen Ohio State yet. That's why. You know who I have on the cusp? North Carolina. Oklahoma State. And I have Miami ahead of BYU right now. Even with 1 loss.
Yeah, I mean,
and then I have Florida ahead of BYU as well. And I think Texas A&M's ahead of them too. Cincinnati, top 25 wise, is ahead of all of them, and I disagree.
Cincinnati, I mean, again, look at their schedule so far. It's a little overrated. I mean, they're getting, you know, hyped for beating South Florida, who just got dismantled by Eastern Carolina. Number 8 in the country is kind of crazy to me. I don't really understand.
I agree with you on that.
Yeah, I don't really understand the whole love for, you know, Cincinnati. And again, a four-point favorite against a Tulsa team who, you know, the win total going into this year was 1.
Mm.
So 1.5, excuse me. So, I mean, you know, like let's calm down a little bit on Cincinnati.
All right, we got those. I got 2 square play alerts for noon. 2 big square play alerts that we have to discuss. Like, dude, the noontime games have been crazy. We saw last week's Red River shootout.
Yes.
Which was a shootout. Damn Texas. Damn Texas. That was one of the best, like, Ellinger, man. You know, it's funny, Jim Louth mentioned that. Is Ellinger somewhat of a Tebow?
Yeah, I mean, you have to give him
credit. Is he like the right-handed Tebow?
He was, I think. He was really good in the second half of that game, especially. And especially in the fourth quarter, he did it against Texas Tech, and then he did it against Oklahoma. He got them into overtime.
He's good.
It's pretty impressive.
He's good. We can talk about that another time. I think he's a prospect. He's a damn good college football player.
He has a certain, like, je ne sais quoi at the end of the game.
Je ne sais quoi?
Yeah, he has a certain, like, something at the end of the game where, like, you look at him and say, okay, like, I want this kid leading my team, but I don't know how much of a pro prospect he is.
All right, real quick before we hit the break here. Clemson, Georgia Tech. Clemson's minus 27 this weekend. We've seen Georgia Tech be impressive with wins over Louisville. Clemson's coming off an emotional win. Now, I think I'm staying away from the points, but I feel Georgia Tech's going to have a problem scoring. And I think Clemson is going to get out to a lead and play defense. Run the ball and get out of there.
Yep.
I don't know who they're playing next. I should probably look that up.
This is technically considered a rivalry game, which is crazy. You know, the ACC kind of pushes the rivalry on us every year, which...
Now, they do have Syracuse, and we all know what Syracuse has done to Clemson in the past. And then they have BC and Notre Dame.
They're a few weeks out from Notre Dame.
So, I'm just looking ahead. I'm going to give out an early play here. Give me under 64.5 Clemson, Georgia Tech.
Jeff, you got me there, bud. Everybody,
your bell sucks.
Yep,
I got whatever. It. I'm making that pick today.
Okay.
Under.
Jeff, tell me when I'm good.
64.5, Clemson, Georgia Tech. Nope. Whatever. We don't need a bell. That's my play, and I'm sticking to it. That's a nooner. So I want to give out another play, but I'm torn on that one, so we're going to have to discuss that a little bit. But anyways, you can give your thoughts on the game, Dan, if you want, but that's what I like.
I think that Clemson is 0-3 against the spread outside of that Miami game, and I think that you're I don't have a clear viewpoint on the total. I don't have a clear viewpoint on this game. I just, I look at Clemson and say they're, as you said, they're coming off a big emotional victory against Miami. And, this is definitely a certain letdown spot, which I think is why it's 27, not 28. They probably want you to take Clemson for the 27 and not the 28. I don't have any interest in laying any of the points with Georgia Tech, or, taking the points with Georgia Tech, though. And so those are kind of my thoughts. I don't really love this game, and I don't have a great feel on this one. I know it's in Atlanta. I don't even know if there's fans, to be perfectly honest with you. Maybe Georgia Tech really gets up for this one. It's a rivalry game that's pushed.
I think
by
they
the
already
ACC.
Had it against Louisville.
Yeah, they were fantastic last week against Louisville. I know Louisville outgained them, but I thought they were significantly the better team throughout the entirety of that game. I just think there's a potential for Clemson to let down here, but I don't know if I'd really want to be on Georgia Tech, despite the fact that Clemson is 0-3 against the spread when, it really games that they have in hand. Especially that Citadel game, 49.5, and they win by 49. Don't score a single point in the second half.
One more game before we hit the break. Nooner. Kentucky-Tennessee. Kentucky gets their first win last week, played good defense. They go on the road to Tennessee. Tennessee's won 6 games in a row at home. I don't know how many times you've heard that this week. Tennessee has won 6 games in a row at home. They lost last week to Georgia. They didn't cover. They played good early on, and then they right now Tennessee's 6.5 at home. I've watched this Kentucky team every week. We don't have to bring up the Auburn game anymore, Dan. That's over. We can move on from that one. I don't know why here. I like Kentucky in this spot. I'm not betting it, but I think Tennessee has been highly overrated, and I think their quarterback is not good. And if I had, between Wilson and Guantanamo Bay, I like Wilson. Just think he's a more ball control player, a little bit more dynamic offense. I know everyone loves Quarantino. I get it. I just like what Wilson's done this year. And I think Kentucky off the win last week, that's definitely momentum against the Tennessee team. Yeah, I just hate betting Tennessee in general.
And Kentucky is a legitimate good third down team, too. I mean, they really were in the Auburn game. I think they converted some ridiculous percentage on third down. They are a good conversion team when it matters. And Tennessee has the look ahead of look aheads. I mean, you're facing Bama next week, This is Kentucky is probably on your radar, but you're already starting the prep for Bama. You're a week away. Bama is in a perfect spot to potentially catch Bama coming off that Georgia game. You're already looking ahead to, what can we do against Alabama next week? How can we beat Alabama? And I think that this is, one of the spots where Tennessee could really, really look ahead and kind of underestimate Kentucky, or just say we don't have time to prep for this team because we need to prep for Alabama and, the upset of Alabama. And, it happens all the time in college programs, especially in these situations. So the game being at home does favor them. I would expect Tennessee to win the ball game, but I certainly would not take them to cover.
All right, let's talk to Dan McCaw. What's up, Dan?
What's going on? First time caller, long time listener. I love you guys. You guys are the best.
Thanks, buddy.
So, what's going on, Dan?
Navy. Okay, line opened up at 2, I believe. Went up to 3.5. Now it's down to 3. Last 3 Navy, East Carolina games. I want to talk about both the total and the spread. Total, last 3 games, 76-35, Navy. 56-28, Navy. 66-31. The over-under is set at 55 right now. I want to hammer the over. On top of that, I also want to take Navy. -3 right now. I want to get you guys' thoughts. I'm going to hang up and listen. Thanks, guys.
All right, buddy. We discussed this. If you want a nice little in-depth recap on our podcast, so this we discussed this. This is an interesting line here. The other thing that popped out to me was Navy's a top 25 team. So I know that like the blind bettors who just want some action are going to look at Navy in this one. I'm like, all right, playing ECU. Just off the bat for me, the last meeting. Navy won this game 42-10 last year, but that was with an explosive running back. Quarterback. I know that ECU is coming off that. Sorry, Navy's coming off that win against Temple. We discussed that one last week. That was Temple's first game, but they ended up sneaking out the win. You know, the more I look at this, like I know ECU they threw up 44 points versus South Florida last week. So we know that their offense can move. I feel like it's going to be a slow-paced game because of the way that Navy's playing this year.
The total opened at 62.5. It's down to 55. There's no weather concerns as far as I see. It's supposed to be 50 and sunny, which is, you know, whatever. Navy is a triple option team. So, I mean,
I don't think the Navy defense is good. I'm going to flat out say that.
Here's my problem with Navy this year. They've played, I think I'm being generous when I say this, 3 good halves of football. Okay? They lost
the BYU game, they sucked.
They lost 55-3 to BYU. They were down 24-0, I believe, at half against Tulane, maybe 17-0.
Yeah, and came back.
24-0. Yeah, okay. They again scored 27 straight. So give them a good half of football there, but they were terrible in the first half. They got ruined by Air Force. They were a 7-point favorite against Air Force. They got absolutely demolished. They go back home versus Temple. They play very well against, I think, a good Temple team. First game of the season. I think you give Temple a little bit of a break there. ECU just played their best football game of the season, and now everyone loves Navy. Everyone loves Navy. I'm not really sure why.
I got ECU, trends for you on this one. Go ahead.
Okay, ECU, despite a few turnovers, played pretty well against Georgia State. We just saw like how good Georgia State was the other night. And they, you know,
and that's a good running team.
Yeah, and they hung in there versus UCF. So, you know, they're able to put up some points. 28-29 against UCF and Georgia State, and then 44 against USF. The most Navy has scored this year is 31 points against a Temple team that I'm not even sure how good they are yet.
It's the first game, yeah.
I don't have a great feeling on the total. If you want to go over, I can certainly understand how you feel that way, seeing Navy's out for, you know, performances.
I feel like Navy's unbettable right now. But you just can't.
Taking Navy, I think you're playing with fire. Yeah. I love ECU today.
So here are the, just looking at the trends, the road team in this matchup is 5-2 against the spread last 7 games. Over is 6-1 in the last 7 meetings, while Navy has covered 4 of the last 4 meetings. But this is a different Navy team this year, man. I'm telling you. They lost, what was the quarterback's name? He's on Miami right now. Kid was outstanding a year ago. I think the Navy defense stinks. It stinks. But, dude, that option. So I don't know what the weather's going to be because it sucks everywhere on the East Coast right now. But the trends lean Navy over. I would not touch Navy, and to Dan's point, they've scored 30 points. It's their highest this year.
No. What I will say about ECU is they have COVID issues. I don't know. I know that Mike Houston hasn't addressed the media. Allers might be out this week with the with everything. But I'm gonna say the same thing. I don't think a quarterback is worth 7.5 points to a total. I think that's. Again, I like Allers. He's been there for a while, but that is wildly high. Wildly high. So if you want to wait till game time to take this one, more than fine with me. I understand that. I just don't understand trying to say a quarterback's worth 7.5 points to a total because I don't agree with that.
Square play alerts coming up next. I do want to get into this Arkansas game in A&M, Mississippi State today? That was a question that just came in from our buddy Bill. And someone called us the Grab Ass Brothers. So we'll talk about that coming up on the other side. It's 98.5 The Sports Zone.
If it's the biggest games in sports, you bet they're talking about it. This is the DraftKings Over Under Show with the Bankroll Boys on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
You blow money fast, I'm a sad. Catch up. I think I'm big meat.
98.5 The Sports Hub, Over Under, DraftKings Show. I'm Joe Murray. Dan Lipschitz is here. Jeff Williams helping us out. So here's how it works. You call in 617-779-0985. Jeff will answer. He'll ask you your name, what game you want to talk about, put you on hold. That's today's college, tomorrow's NFL, or any other game you want to discuss. You are more than welcome to give your own picks as well. Other people love to tell us, you know, oh, you guys know nothing, blah, blah. So, you know, hey, I'd love to hear your picks today, you know. And, you know, my motto, Dan, is to fade or follow. Like, here's the pick. Here's the pick. If you don't like it, you fade it. And it's the most free service of your life. You know what I mean? Or if you like the pick, you ride it and you tail it. It costs you nothing. So if you hate us, you fade us. And you'll win. And I'll tell you right now, the way we've been going, despite last week, I had a 2-0 week, so I'm very happy about that. At least on Sunday, I was 2-0. So that's where I'm leaving it.
I think you were 4-2.
Something like that. I had a better weekend. Except Auburn's on the list, so they're done. Which brings up the square play alert. I need something. Square play alert! Two of them. You ready? Off the bat. They're all at noon, Dan. I don't know if you have any squares out there, but Auburn at South Carolina, -3. Auburn's on my list. I'm not betting Auburn. So I'm leading it off with that. But, man, do I love that. I'd be all over this one. I would eat it up. I'd get a steak knife, you know. I'd put some rub on that bad boy, maybe a little sauce on the side. Get a little nice little potato, a little green in there, and I'd be all over Auburn at -3, which is so square, not betting it. But South Carolina's been a decent home team with a decent defense. Colin Hill's been okay at quarterback for them. Auburn just hasn't been impressive, man. They snuck out that. They were up 17-0 last week and blew it.
The SEC refs handed them a victory last week. They fumbled the ball, and then the SEC refs claimed they blew it.
That was a weird play.
Not a weird play. That happens all the time in college football, especially in the big conferences like this. SEC Auburn didn't win the game. They got lucky. The refs handed them a victory, and they were able to kick a field goal. Otherwise, they lose that game. I think that's pretty simple.
The South Carolina offense has been better than Auburn's this year. Put up 30 points a game.
Bo Nix, outside of week one, where we've talked about the game to that point, like against that Kentucky team, Bo Nix has not had a good performance. Like, again, I'm not advocating for South Carolina here. I'm just saying, how the hell could you want to touch Auburn today?
Well, they had Clemson, Tennessee, and Florida. That's how they opened up this year. Yikes. Clemson, Tennessee, Florida.
Yeah,
and they hung around with Tennessee and Florida. Yeah.
They didn't play Clemson.
What am I looking
Vandy,
at?
Vandy, Tennessee, and Florida.
Their last, sorry, Jesus. Sorry about that.
And they wrecked Vandy last week.
I apologize.
Which is not exactly a telling victory.
Yeah. They beat Vandy 41-7. Yeah, yep. And they lost to Florida.
Yeah.
You know what? Sorry, Tennessee, Florida, Vanderbilt, Clemson was their last game. Going back to.
Gotcha.
Whoops.
Yeah, and Auburn won. Auburn should have lost 28-27 last week. I am fully on.
Anyways,
they might be Auburn. You legitimately look at and say you can make an argument they should be 0-3.
My point is this is as square as day. This is the squarest one square play that I have right now. Now listen, Auburn could win this game, could make it look easy and get back on track or whatever. This South Carolina team's different. This is a good home team. We saw what they did against Georgia last year. I know they're not the same team, but they have a better defense right now than what Auburn's been putting out there, and I think their quarterback's slowly getting better. I want to see what Bo Nix can do on the road today. I would stay away from this game, but that -3 Auburn is so square. Be careful. That's all I'm trying to say. Auburn's on my list, so I am not betting it. The other square play, Dan, we talked about this off the air. Liberty at Syracuse. I know for a fact last year I was on Liberty on this game. They got shut out 24-0.
We both were on Liberty, by the way.
Know what the line is today?
Yep.
Liberty's -2.5 right now.
Yep.
Syracuse is the home team. And I want to go back to the well on Liberty. I do. I can't do it.
I don't know why.
It's too square.
I don't know why you want to.
I'm not a Syracuse. Now, Syracuse has played tough. I don't think they're good by any means. But
you know,
I do think that Liberty's been very good this year. I know their schedule stinks.
You know how we talked about how UAB got better when they lost their quarterback for the year?
Yeah.
And we said, you know, when they went from, you know, Johnston to Lucero, they got better. This is the same thing. Syracuse is going to be better with Culpepper after losing DeVito. I don't think that there was much of an argument. I mean, I thought DeVito, and you've hated DeVito forever.
Hate him.
I don't think DeVito is a very good quarterback, and I think they have to play him.
They average 19 points a game.
Yeah. I give me Syracuse PP.
Oh, he's doing it.
Yeah, sorry, Jeff. I'll redo it here.
No, it's just I just feel like you can't play this game.
I'm gonna play the game. I'm gonna take cues. Liberty's 4 wins this year. We went over it.
Yeah.
Western Kentucky. They won by 6.
It's not good. FIU is not good.
Florida International, not good. Northern Alabama and Louisiana Monroe, the worst team in Division I football.
That's not. I'm gonna be honest with you.
Outside maybe UMass. I mean,
it's not pretty.
You know, at least Syracuse has a Power 5 victory over a good team, and they're at home.
They average 250 yards a game, 19 points per game. They give up 30 points a game. Syracuse stinks. Ugh.
And Syracuse.
Again, that's why I think people will be on Liberty today.
And Syracuse's weakness is the offensive line. Liberty is not a formidable defensive. They do not have a formidable defensive line. That is not their strength.
These are just the noon games we've discussed.
I know.
Like this is what people are going to jump on. I'm telling you, be careful of Auburn and Liberty today. And Dan loves Syracuse, and he just told you to take it. I'm off both those games. I like Liberty and I like Auburn, and I'm not touching them.
I'll be on Syracuse. I'll take the Power 5 team at home against a team who has not played probably a top 100 opponent yet.
All right, we got to get into this A&M Mississippi State game. We got to get into that. And the NFL, it's the DraftKings Over-Under Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is the DraftKings Over-Under Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub. This is the DraftKings Over-Under Show with Joe Murray and Dan Lifschitz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, Dan, we got about a minute here or so. Anything you want to give away? I got giveaways, too.
Yeah, you go ahead. I'll give away on the other side of this.
All right.
I'll the other side of the headlines.
Big boxing match tonight. I hate square. What I mean by square is, like, I don't want to bet Lomachenko at 425. I think he's going to win the fight. I'm not putting up $425 or $4,200 to win a grand. Just I'm not doing that. It's just so I'm looking for some other angle. Now on DraftKings, you can bet rounds. There's all sorts of things you can do. You can bet what round you want it to be in, etc. So I'm doing this tonight. I want to have some fun with this. But Lomachenko Lopez, oh, it's up to 4:30 right now. I just looked at it. I'm playing this because both fighters are knockout fighters. And generally when I see this or I see these type of lines, you're baited to take the over. So like right now, the over's 10 and a half rounds at minus 195. I think Lomachenko is going to knock out Lopez tonight. Now this is a middle, lightweight fight. They both weighed in at 135. If you watched, they both were face to face. They were supposed to wear masks. They didn't, whatever. So that was a big thing after that.
I'm sure there are a lot of people upset about
that. I want value. So, you know, if I'm people, hey, Joe, who do you like? I like Lomachenko. I'm not putting up the money. So when it comes to value, if any value at all, I want plus money. So I'm going under 10 and a half rounds, plus 165 tonight. I think Lomachenko knocks out Lopez under 11 rounds. So I'm going under 10 and a half. Lomachenko.
I have no input because I'm don't know enough about boxing to say, you know, yes or no.
Both fighters are knockout fighters.
Nice. Okay. I mean, listen, I know Lomachenko's name. I just don't know enough about the matchup or
this is a value bet. I don't see any other value. I know DraftKings is giving out some other props where there is some value. You can go by round or anything like that. I don't think it goes to distance. I think Lomachenko knocks out Lopez tonight. Give me under 10 and a half rounds. 617-779-0985. Let's get the headlines here, and then we got more games for you coming up next.
It's the show where you never have to hedge your bets.
Get it?
The DraftKings Over-Under Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hour two, DraftKings Over-Under Show. Still dark outside, Dan. 8:05 in the morning. Crazy weather here. We do, Jeff Williams did some research for us regarding those NFL stuff. We'll get to that in a minute here. And I'm going to get the baseball odds at some point for today's games.
And we have to get to the NFL at some point.
What do you got, Dan? Where do you want to start today in the NFL?
Want to continue starting in college football.
All right, let's do the Mississippi State Texas A&M game because that's our buddy Bill checked in on that, and it's going to be a damn good game. I have a pick on it. Do you?
I do.
Ooh, okay.
We have talked about this off air. I agree with your side. I am going to take a different side. I am taking Mississippi State +5.5 PP,
Ooh.
Jeff. So if you wouldn't mind bringing me up there again.
He's on the phone.
Oh, he's good on the phone. Okay. Yeah, so I'm taking the Miss State +5.5 PP. Look, I think Texas A&M is in a terribly bad situation, unfortunately, coming off that super emotional win. Mississippi State has a bye next week before they go into Bama. So there's, you know, not a real true look ahead for them. A&M's coming off probably the most emotional victory that they have had in quite a while. They lost one of their wide receivers for the season, one of their best wide receivers for the season, right at the end of that game. Texas A&M, they run the ball to establish the pass. That has been what Kellen Mond and that offense has been, you know, in Texas A&M for the past few years. Mississippi State is the number one rush defense in the country. Mississippi State shuts down the run, makes you force passes. And I do worry about Kellen Mond dropping back to force, you know, passes constantly. I think that they got away with it against Florida because Florida's defense is criminally overrated from what we heard kind of going into the year. And I thought they were in a really good spot at home. Mm. Now going into Starkville with, you know, a Leach team coming off just an embarrassing offensive output, basically said, if my players don't want to be here and play, I'll find players who will. and basically called out his team and everything. I think there's going to be an emotional response. They're in Starkville. Mississippi State, in my opinion, is in a pretty good spot. And I think A&M, you know, who, again, we saw earlier in the season, struggled against, you know, maybe, you know, not top-tier opponents. They beat, what was it, Vanderbilt 17-12. And then, again, got blown out against Alabama, which I can't really hammer them for that. I just think this is a really good spot for Mississippi State. I think they're going to bounce back, and I think they're going to score some points today. And Costello should be better than he has been the past 2 weeks.
If not, he's getting benched. I'm sorry.
Yep, I agree.
Oh, he was so bad last week.
So, yeah. So, Mississippi State plus 5.5, PP.
Okay. So, I can't take a side on this one. Mississippi State was so bad last week. Mississippi State was so bad last week. I will say this, though. The kid Spiller is pretty good. And you mentioned the rushing defense. Like, that's a guy. Isaiah Spiller for Texas A&M has been very good on the ground. I know you mentioned Mon running around, but I think he's somebody you have to watch. This is going to be a good game. 4 o'clock today. So, you have a side on it. I'm going over the total in this game. You can PP it. I had 55.5. It's now at 56. So, let's just do 56.
Oh, Jeff, you wouldn't mind.
I'm going over 56. A lot of your points, Dan, you mentioned they're probably not going to run the football much because, you know, Mississippi State. But I just see Mississippi State throwing. They are not getting shut out again today. That's not happening. They're going to have a better offensive input. I think Texas A&M is going to put up points. But I just see this as an over 56 game with points on the board. I have some trends for you if you really want them, but we have to move on.
I think, by the way, Mississippi State, yeah, I'll just give you the quick stats. 75.7 yards per game on the ground. They've allowed one rushing touchdown, 2.12 yards per rush, and have allowed 227 total yards on the ground. So they're actually not number one anymore. They are now number five behind Georgia, Pittsburgh, Houston, and BYU. And I don't know if the BYU stats are updated, by the way. I do not think they are because it says Houston's played one game. So, but yeah. They're a top five run defense.
All right, so you're on a side. I am on a total, and look at us on the same game last year. The score 49-30, Texas A&M Mississippi State.
Yeah, and I also agree with the over play there. Mississippi State's going to score more than 2 points this week, and I think that Texas A&M is going to have to throw the ball. I think it's going to be a very similar game to last week where they're going to be behind at certain points.
Dan's on the line. What's going on, Dan? You're on the Sports Hub.
How we doing, guys? I wanted to talk about the UMass game. Please don't laugh me off the phone for talking UMass football, but they're playing Georgia Southern, and the over-under is 63, I believe, on DraftKings. But Georgia Southern plays Coastal Carolina next week, so I don't know how much they've actually put in to UMass. I would think it'd be under because I don't think Georgia Southern is going to put up 63 points by themselves. I just want to get your thoughts.
Yeah. So I just looked this up. The UMass Minutemen, the over is 4-0 in their last just 4 games overall and on the road. Like so the over, but this is a different UMass. Like, you know, this is a new season. They haven't played yet. It's their first game of the year. Could be sloppy here. Coastal Carolina, dude, by the way, I told you I love them. That's like my team. Yep. That's my team this year.
The Chanticleers.
I have claimed them as my team this year. I have no insight because I don't really know much about the UMass this year.
I don't think almost anyone does. I mean, it's going to be they're a one and done team right now. This is it. This is their one game of the season.
But I will tell you that I'm looking at the over trends, and they all lean. A lot of them lean towards the over in Georgia Southern.
Here's the problem with Georgia Southern, dude. They allowed 26 points to Campbell and 30 points to Louisiana Monroe. Like, how good are they?
Okay, I mean,
Campbell's horrendous.
But yeah. They put up points and they cover. Listen, they were a covering machine, Dan.
Again, listen, it's
Campbell was a covering machine.
Yes,
until they hit Wake Forest.
Until they, yeah, 3-1 against the spread until they got murdered by Wake Forest.
Listen, went over.
Campbell was a fun story, but Georgia Southern has not been good this year. I mean, they played really tough against Lafayette. You got to give them they were in that game. That was really tough. I think they're Georgia Southern's probably going to approach this game like a Campbell or Louisiana Monroe. We're going to look ahead to the game on the road against Coastal Carolina, who is going to be a ranked team next week, and we're not going to worry too much about UMass and what they can do against us. They're a triple offense, the triple option offense. So, I mean, you know, how good is Shy Wirtz going to be? How, you know, are they going to be able to cover 31? It's almost the same spread as the Campbell game earlier in the season when Campbell, you know, lost them by one and they were leading at points in that game. I'm not calling for a UMass victory here. I'm just saying, like, it has similar qualities to that spot.
That's I love betting UMass plus points.
UMass and the points plus 31 for Joe Murray.
I'm not doing it today. But, oh, man, there was a day where... Oh.
Not to mention, this is UMass's one game of the year so far. Like, they haven't focused on any other
game that UMass has all year.
So, they may schedule other games at some point, but right now, this is their only
game. We got a season, man. It's first Georgia.
They've only focused on the triple option. Like, that's it.
Oh, God. All right. So, there's other games that we can get into. I want to get into the NFL, but I'll just kind of breeze through a few here. Louisville, Notre Dame. I feel like Notre Dame should cover, but they haven't been impressive. And Louisville, they've tanked it on me. North Carolina, Florida State. Like, you would think North Carolina should win by two touchdowns after putting up 56 last week.
You would think.
And then we haven't even discussed Georgia, Alabama yet. BC, Virginia Tech, though, just while we just did UMass, let's just BC, getting 13 points today. I don't like what Virginia Tech's done this year. I don't know. And I feel like BC's been in every single game. I know Blacksburg's a tough place to play. Zay Flowers of BC's been awesome. He has been awesome. I bet a few Virginia Tech games so far. They've covered. The 64.5 seems a little high. But overall, like, BC doesn't play well at Virginia Tech. I don't know what the fan situation is.
Much more of a finesse team than a power team this year. They're not like a power run it down your throat team.
Yes, they're not running the football well at all, actually, BC. They're known, you know, to run the football very well.
Yeah, David Bailey is the running back this year, and he has not been great. And their defense is not nearly as stout as it has been in the past. I mean, outside that Duke game, they give it up 21, 26, and 30.
Yeah.
To, you know, Texas State, I give a pass on because it was, you know, kind of a look-ahead spot. But 26 to UNC, 30 to Pitt, probably going to be giving up around that area to Virginia Tech today.
The star in this game is Khalil Herbert. He has been awesome. Kid transferred from Kansas. He's averaging 10 yards a carry, dude. He averaged 150 yards rushing a game. So that's what it's going to come down to. If BC can slow this kid down, which they haven't shown they can do, that's really what this comes down to for BC.
And again, Hendon Hooker finally got in the game last week after Burmeister. Hendon Hooker came in, changed the game for Virginia Tech. 7-13, 136 yards, two touchdowns. He was great last week.
Just want to throw this out there. BC opened up. I think they opened up against Virginia Tech last year. It was early in the year. And they were huge dogs. They won outright against Virginia Tech last year. So
maybe a little revenge, too.
True. Got to throw that in there as well. So that's your UMass BC minutes there.
I want to talk about one more game before we move on. Is that all right?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, I want to give a pick on this one. Ole Miss, Arkansas. We discussed this game on the podcast. We talked about the total. It looks crazy high. Give me Arkansas, Ole Miss, over 76 points, people. To me, this is going to be a game where Lane Kiffin, Matt Corral, John Reese Plumlee, they are going to score points in Arkansas in Fayetteville. Is going to need to keep up with them offensively. It's just going to be one of those games. Ole Miss is going to score points. The Arkansas defense, I just don't know how much they have exactly with your boy Felipe Franks, the quarterback. But they have to score. Ole Miss offensive output, 35 versus Florida, 42 at Kentucky, 48 versus Alabama. Arkansas probably has a better defense than everyone except Kentucky.
They're just well coached. That's all I can tell you about Arkansas that I've seen. Franks has been good.
Yeah.
But They're a well-coached team. They're not. I don't know if they're.
But Arkansas is going to have to score today. This is going to be a game that they are forced to score upon, and I see lots of points in this one. So
the only other letdown I feel here is they lose to Alabama. Are they checked out now? You know, like, were they like hyped up for it? And then like that's the only cause, dude. That's what Arkansas's run into, right? Auburn loses the week before. It's like every Mississippi State goes off. Goes on that huge game and then they bum out the next game. It's like every team they've played has come off like some sort of like emotional loss and they somehow sneak it out. So that's the only thing for me in this one here.
I agree, but I think what Ole Miss
will put up points in their sleep.
Right, exactly. So it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if what they're doing, kind of look ahead wise offensively. Defensively, yeah, and that's exactly why I think you're going to see some points in this game, because Ole Miss is coming off the Bama loss and looking ahead to Auburn, which I don't really know how much of a look at. If Auburn loses this week, they're going to be, 2-2? How much of a look at is that? I don't know, but still, I'd say it's somewhat of a look ahead.
All right, I have two more college games I want to discuss. We'll do those later on in the show. Just to Dan, if you want to write these down, the NC State game today versus Duke. And Central Florida versus Memphis.
I was going to say, I wonder when we're going to get to that game, because those are two of your favorite teams.
Oh, yeah. Literally. Central Florida and Memphis. Like, I can't bet them both, can I? Maybe I can do a teaser.
You can bet the over. you can tease one up and one down. You can do whatever, tease Memphis to 9 or whatever it is, and UCF to +3.
Could do it. Could work.
I would tell you not to do that.
I would tell myself not to do that either.
Don't tease across zero.
Your baseball odds are in. They're in. But we got to get to the NFL coming up next here on the DraftKings Over-Under Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is the DraftKings Over-Under Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub. Who you got? These guys have the answer. Joe Murray, Dan Lifshatz. The DraftKings Over-Under Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
DraftKings Over-Under Show. I'm Joe Murray. He's Dan Lifshatz. Oh, we got the NFL. Yeah. So when you look at the card, I see Tennessee -3.5 versus the Texans. And I say, okay, Tennessee looked pretty good on Tuesday, which I liked, actually. Liked a little Tuesday football.
I loved it. To mention they kicked the crap out of the Bills.
Oh, man, the Bills.
Yeah. The Bills face a good team and just get absolutely ruined.
Yeah. Yeah, that one hurt. Tennessee. Recency bias here, or they should be 3.5 here?
Super short week for them. Not a normal week. It's at home, at least. The Texans coming off finally a well-put-together game. Their first win of the season. Maybe gets them a little momentum. Tennessee in a short week. Coming off just an ass whooping of the Bills, I definitely think that it's Tennessee's going to be the attractive side to everyone. I think in this situation, no one's really going to want to back Houston this week. I think that's going to be a tough sell to try and back to want to back Houston in this spot. Not saying they're the right side. I'm just saying it's a tough sell.
Head to head. Texans own this 12-5-1 last 18 meetings, but they're different teams. The home team has been good. 6-2 against the spread last 8 meetings. The under in Tennessee has been 4-0 last 4.
Interesting.
So I don't have a play on this one, but I just wanted to at least discuss the game quickly. I'm not sure if you got anything on it. How about the Bengals and the Coltsies?
I got some in here.
Just set it up quickly. I thought the Bengals would show up last week. They didn't.
Yep.
Joe Burrow has been good. He was a covering machine until last week. Joe Mixon's run the ball well. Tyler Boyd's been a pretty good story. Somehow they couldn't score last week.
Here's my problem with the Bengals so far. They lost to the Chargers week one. Okay, the Chargers, that was with Tyrod Taylor, if I'm correct. Right? I believe I'm correct on that one. Okay. So Tyrod Taylor and the Chargers, who I do not think were very good with Tyrod Taylor. Yep. Yeah, they pushed.
Pushed.
It was three. Yep. Yeah. The Browns week two on a short week on a Thursday night. They were in Cleveland, and I think they covered. I think it was six.
Yep.
Five and a half, six.
Backdoor cover.
Yeah, backdoor cover. Okay. I'd say that was your best game of the season if you're Cincinnati. You tied Philly the next week in Philly in a game that Philly should have won like seven times. They botched the overtime. They botched the field goal. They botched everything because it's Philly, and Philly loves to find new ways to lose and tie and do all these crap things every week. You should have lost that game. You covered. Then they beat the Jaguars, I thought, in pretty, you know, deciding fashion the week after that. Then they face a good team in the Ravens, and they lose by, what, 24? It was 27-0. 33 seconds left. They kick a field goal. That game was never close. They didn't show up. Their stretch of games coming up is where I think we're going to start really seeing these teams. At the Colts, home versus the Browns, home versus the Titans, at the Steelers. The next four games really determines what Cincinnati is as a ball, you know, as a ball team. And I am very worried about what we're going to find out. I'm going to try and get ahead of what I think I know about Cincinnati so far through the season. And so I'm probably going to be 1,000,000% wrong because that's been my NFL season so far. But give me the Colts, PP, -7.5. I'm going to take the Colts here in this situation, coming off just a horrendously bad loss on the road to the Browns. Back home at home in the dome against, a Cincinnati team who already has offensive line trouble and has to go up against one of the best defensive lines in football, and the Colts, who did get to Baker Mayfield and did force pressure, and Baker Mayfield shoved it back in their face, and I was very impressed by that. Props to Baker Mayfield and the Browns last week, but I'm going back on the Colts train, even though Philip Rivers is horrendous, and openly I admit that.
It's three weeks in a row.
Yes. Yes, I'm going back on the Colts train. I'm 1-1, going for the 2-1.
Favorite 5-1 against the spread the last six meetings. The under is also 5-1 in the last six meetings.
Yeah, I think that's a good play there.
Just throwing trends. People, well, they like them. You don't like them. Well, here they are. So I figured I'd give you that one. Other NFL games today, Dan. We mentioned the Ofer, which I want to get into on the other side because Jeff had a good stat for us.
Okay.
But Ravens-Eagles. It was 7.5 when we did the podcast on Thursday. It's now 9.5.
Yeah.
Did something happen to the Eagles? two points in 2 days?
I believe they lost more offensive linemen. I believe they're starting the youngest offensive line in the combination of youngest offensive line players and the most inexperienced, something like that, in like the past three seasons. It's some ridiculous stat basically saying the Eagles are young and have no experience on the offensive line.
Okay, so I don't like the Eagles. The Eagles are on my list of teams not to bet. So we're not betting the Eagles.
Yep.
But I think this is another week of the Ravens' roll. What's up with Lamar Jackson's knee, though? I guess that's something.
I will tell you, our friends over at the Sports Gambling Podcast and Sean, who has continuously done very well in the dogs, he had the Miami Dolphins outright last week. He's a super, super huge Eagles fan. So I will say that this pick is probably biased. But shout out to the Sports Gambling Podcast and Sean stacking the money in the green. He's taking Philly on the money line this week. Just saying, I'm not backing him. I'm just saying he's been very good with his dogs, and he had Miami last week as his dog. He's taking Philly outright this week. That could absolutely be a biased pick, but I can also see Baltimore crap in the bed for a game, you know, at some point, and Philly picking it up for four quarters or three quarters or whatever. I don't know. I don't think I'm going to touch the Baltimore Philly game in any sort of capacity this week.
I've been a part of, well, it's now the Over Under 95 podcast is a part of the Capper's Cup from Odd Sharks. And you referenced the sports gambling podcast. They are in fifth place, while Over Under is in third place. Just wanted to throw that out there. But you can see everyone's favorite plays of the week there. I have mine. I gave it out on the podcast the other night.
Okay, fair enough.
You can also see their favorite play of the week if you want.
Nice.
Right there as well. I gave a pick on a total on the Browns-Steelers game.
I don't think you PP'd it, but...
Okay, well, you know what? Let's do it. Over 51, Browns-Steelers on 1 o'clock. PP, thank you. Yes, this is going to be a high-scoring game, and I think that Pittsburgh is going to win at home. The thing is, though, a little 3.5 there, a little hooksky.
Give me the Pittsburgh Steelers minus 3.5.
Oh, there we go.
There you go. I am here for the Browns' demise.
Can I bring something up about I know you're there for the – you're on a Browns' demise thing. I tried everything this week to go with the Browns. I looked at the Steelers' schedule and I said, not good. If you look at the Steelers' schedule, dude.
I know.
It's not good.
No.
But they're so efficient.
Neither is the Browns.
Yeah, but the Browns have played well, though. They beat Dallas. I know it was almost a little... I don't know.
How bad is Dallas?
0-5 against the spread. They're terrible.
You're right. They had a real... Despite the fact that Rivers played like absolute dog poopy, I will give them credit for that win.
Dog poopy.
I don't know what else I can say on the radio, so I'm just trying to make sure I don't get myself in trouble here with the FCC. You have to give them credit for the Colts win last week.
Dog poopy. Anyways, I tried to look at the Browns. It just didn't work. And I'm sorry, Teddy Bridgewater as an underdog or he's a favorite this week at 1.5. I don't know. The Bears coming off the win against Tampa Bay. Foles played a little better. I don't know what Panthers team you're going to get week in and week out. I don't know what Bears team you're going to get. No play for me, but I'll tell you this much. Teddy Bridgewater against the spread, outstanding. He's even better as an underdog. It's 1.5 right now.
This is a game I have no effing idea what's going to happen in.
Neither.
This game.
Nothing.
Really, you look at this game. Teddy Bridgewater has surpassed and exceeded my expectations easily.
I mentioned the trends. If you look at the trends, it's going to tell you the Bears stink. They're 4-12 in their last 17 games against the spread, blah, blah, blah. And then it will show you the Panthers are 4-0 at home. Like, it's just going to show you the Panthers are good at home. And it's like, all right, like, there's nothing there.
New coach, new quarterback for the Bears. Like,
Robbie Anderson's been good. I think it's him getting away from Adam Gase. I just wanted to bring
that up. I mean, getting away from the Jets in general. And anyone gets better getting away from the Jets. So,
yeah, and there was a prop that I was on with Zoe Beetle this week, or Hardy and Zoe, and I came up with six people that have left Adam Gase who've done very well. Ryan Tannehill leads the list.
That's not
followed by Jarvis Landry and Mike Gesicki and Robbie Anderson.
So pretty much everyone.
Maybe Le'Veon Bell. Who knows?
Well, we're going to find out.
Lions-Jaguars, another one I can't do, but the Lions have to win this game. I'm sorry, Lions. You need to win this game.
Does Patricia get fired?
Yes.
This game?
Yes.
I think he might.
They need – the thing is the I told you, the Jaguars are going to the Lions going to be up 28-10, and then the Minshew's going to throw two touchdowns in a row, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, here come the Lions, Matt Stafford with a comeback play,
I'd like to know the percentage of teams that start 1-4 and make the playoffs. I think you're making a change if you start 1-4.
The division, though, Green Bay might already, if they win this week, they might lock it up already.
Yeah, I mean, again, even if they don't win this week, what are they, 4-1?
Yeah.
I mean, you're probably at this point playing for a while.
Well, actually, the Bears are still in it.
Yep, and the Bears are in it at 4-1,
too.
Probably
got ahead of
yourself. You're playing for a wild card if you're the Lions. That's my point.
Lions need this win. No, I would not bet it. I would not bet that thing. There's your 1 o'clock games in the books.
I want to talk about the Patriots.
Oh,
we have not gotten.
Let's
to
do that on the other side. It's absolutely the DraftKings over under show.
The DraftKings over under show with the Bankroll Boys. 98.5, the Sports Hub. If it's the biggest games in sports, you bet they're talking about it. This is the DraftKings over under show with the Bankroll Boys. up.
Dan, we have good news. The Patriots facility is open today, which means they'll have a football game tomorrow.
Sounds like
as of now.
As of now. I mean, anything can change with this team literally any day because we get how many positive tests here. And,
I've talked about this game too much for 2 weeks. Too much. Here's my three takeaways. Well, we see a rusty Cam Newton in back-to-back games. He wasn't good in the last game.
No. He was not very good.
I mean, let's be honest.
He was fine.
He's been great this year, but he wasn't good last game.
Yep.
The Broncos are not good against the run.
Nope.
They give up over 100 yards a game. And I think it was like 4 yards per carry. So that favors the Patriots. And then who's the quarterback? Who's healthy?
It sounds like it's going to be Locke.
So I think Judy's been good. I think Noah Fant's improved. And Melvin Gordon's been decent. The kid Patrick has been good on the outside for Denver.
I've been impressed by Tim Patrick, yeah.
He was really
good against the Jets.
Yep. They still have a rookie center. I think they're beat up. The D-line isn't that great. And their linebackers, it's not Von Miller anymore. Like, that's all the their secondary is not good anymore. So, the way I look at it is the Patriots are going to run, RPO throw, which I think is an advantage Patriots. Drew Lock could be definitely rusty versus a good Patriots secondary.
Who has Gilmore.
Yep, who's going to play with Gilmore. J.C. Jackson's been good, and Jawan Williams might cover Noah Fant.
Who is, I believe, was limited throughout the week. I think he's
been
play.
He's been good.
Agreed.
He should have been better last year. The kid's a good talent.
He was really, really good at Iowa.
Yeah, and they had two tight ends at the time.
I know. It was him and Hawkinson.
Yep. All I'm saying is Patriots should be able to control this game.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Denver's one win this year has been against the Jets. It was the score probably does not reflect how close that game was, to be perfectly honest with you. I know that Melvin Gordon got a bounce outside with, 30 seconds left and scored a touchdown, so the Jets didn't cover, and that I know that hurt a lot of Jets backers. It was a rough beat. Gordon also was out of practice yesterday, Joe, with an illness.
Yeah.
Held out. I don't know what the deal is.
I won't make a joke. I'll just keep going.
No,
I had a joke, and I don't want
to
do it.
Yeah, it's not. He had the DUI thing earlier in the week. Go. And, he did get a full practice in. Was it Thursday he got a full practice in? I don't think he practiced Wednesday. So, I mean, his status seems to be up in the air. There's just a lot of questions with Denver. And I know that New England is not healthy. They've lost James Ferentz. There's been rumors that Joe Tooney wouldn't play as well, which I've heard out there.
Not on the list, though.
He could be added to the COVID list tomorrow. I have no idea. So there was another Patriots test in question, and there are people out there saying it could be Tooney. I don't know either. Listen, if you're going to have Tooney play center, I think you're going to be fine with the Patriots. If you lose Tooney, Andrews, and Ferentz, you're
well. There's three centers.
Those are your three. I mean,
who's your backup center?
You're in
and deep Wiener. Crap.
I mean, seriously.
You gotta play. What's his name? Cardona. Just have him walk
in. At some point, you might have to think you're kind of in trouble there. So I don't really know.
And Illuminar is not playing.
Yeah,
we're gonna start the rookie Cannon, kid from Wake Forest. There, the hell's his name? Heron.
Yeah, Justin Heron. Yep. Yeah. So. The Pats are beat up on the offensive line, and I still think that they should be able to do pretty well.
I smell a low-scoring game.
I still think they should be able to run the ball pretty well. Maybe, I definitely could see a low-scoring game in this one. I wonder what the Patriots are going to be able to do defensively to match up, against the Jerry Judys. I mean, they always have trouble against bigger wide receivers. Like, those are the guys who give them...
Judy's been going over the middle a lot.
And he mossed someone.
And he had a bad drop, though, too. So he's
right, but he mossed, who was it? Who was the Jets corner that he mossed?
Good stink.
Okay, whatever. Pierre Desir. He mossed Pierre Desir and made that really nice play on a ball that probably should have been an interception. I give Judy credit. He's been pretty good. Patrick has been good. Fant has been good. Gordon's been good. That offense has been pretty solid. They're not going to be as good, obviously, without Sutton. And Lindsay's going to be back, too. So they're going to be able to rotate in another back. Denver should be able to move the ball. I don't know how many points they're going to score. I think the Patriots will play a ball control game, as you kind of talked about as well. So I would stay away from this one until we know who's actually active for the Patriots. But if you like the Patriots, I would personally wait until you find out who's active and who's not for the game. This is a game I would stay away from.
Not playing the game. I like the Patriots and the under. We talked about which 0-for team can win. Jeff, what was last year? How long was it until a team won last year?
Cincinnati went 0-11 before they got their first win.
All right, who was it the year before that?
Oh, I didn't look the year
before. Okay, but it was 0-11 last year.
Yeah, 0-11, yep.
Okay. So the Jets play the Dolphins. I like the Dolphins.
We looked at the Jets' schedule.
Not good.
They're in deep doo-doo. At Miami, home versus Buffalo, at Kansas City, home versus New England, at the Chargers, home versus Miami, home versus the Raiders, at Seattle, at LA Rams, home versus the Browns, at the Patriots. I don't know a winnable game. I mean, you could argue the Raiders could be a winnable game, and you could argue the Dolphins could be a winnable game at home. I don't know if I see another win on that schedule.
The Falcons have the Vikings. Then they play the Lions, Panthers, Broncos, Saints, Raiders, Saints, Chargers, Bucks, Chiefs. Woof. Bucks. The Bucks and Saints twice.
These two teams, I mean, they're screwed, man. There's no
Bucks, Saints twice, Chiefs, Chargers, and then somehow it's the Panthers, Lions, and Broncos. I think they get a win.
Yeah, I think the Falcons will get a
win.
Who
wants the number one pick? Oh, I think that might be something.
Atlanta gets the number two pick. Are they trading
that? So the Giants, you're in? Because I took Washington.
I'm not in. You're asking me to choose between the two winless teams. I'm telling you I'd rather go with the Giants and the Falcons.
Woof.
I know. But it's at least a divisional game. Anything can happen in those crap games.
All right, we have to break. Somebody said a poop reference. There's two Monday night football, Sunday night game, two Monday night football games in the MLB playoffs. We got to get to all that.
And Bama, Georgia.
And Bama, Georgia tonight on the Sports Hub. Next.
This is the DraftKings Over Under Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub. This is the DraftKings Over Under Show with Joe Murray and Dan Lifschitz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, quickly, baseball lines are out. How about this? Dodgers, Braves, Walker Buehler on the mound, -158 versus Max Fried, the lefty. Over-under's 8. And this is for the Dodgers to even the series, right?
Yep. Braves lead 3-2.
I know you're a big Walker Buehler fan.
Game 7 in Houston.
Would they go Kershaw in 7?
Oh, God, I hope not. Can you imagine?
Serious question. Would they go Kershaw 7?
I mean, if they want to lose. Seriously, that guy, you want to put Kershaw in a pressure situation?
I'm telling you right now, the way Atlanta's playing, they're going to blow it. I will say this.
So is Tampa.
Yeah. Every game in the series has gone over. Wait. Yeah. No, not the first one.
I think the first one went under.
Yeah. So the last four games, the over's 4-0. I see a trend there. And then Houston, Tampa Bay, Charlie Morton versus Lance McCullers. Gross. Morton's -1. So Tampa Bay's favored again. You got a history, right? History shows you the two teams that could come back from 3-0 deficits would be the Red Sox and the Astros. That'd be like the biggest F you in history in baseball.
Ugh.
The biggest cheaters in baseball. Anyway, so that's that line. And then let's discuss Alabama-Georgia quickly, because I know there's a couple other NFL games here. But
we discussed it in depth.
The number's 5. The number's 5. We briefly discussed it earlier today, but it's going to come down to Stenson and that Georgia offense. If they put up points, I think their defense is good enough to win the game. I don't think they're good enough to win the game, but the number is 5. I hate 5. Hate the number 5. It's just a dead number in gambling.
Yep. 5.5. It looks like it's up to 5.5 now. But
and Saban could be on the sideline.
That's weird that he would be back so soon, right? I mean, it's kind of a weird thing that Bama would put everyone in jeopardy like that. But whatever, I don't run the program. Not my call. I don't really know the situation. I don't really want to say anything. But I will say that this game, if Georgia wins this game, then I don't know how much the game really means to Georgia, right? Let me just preference by saying this. If Georgia loses this game and beats Florida, they're back in the SEC championship against who?
You're Alabama. Right. You're right. They can lose this game and still go to the SEC championship.
Yes, and you can still make the Final Four as the SEC champion if you put everything in the Bama.
You can still make the national championship, too.
Bama loses this game. They're probably still winning their side of the bracket versus LSU and whatever else is in there.
Bama loses late in the year to Auburn. It's just like one of those things that I don't know if Auburn has it this year, though. But who knows? They could have a slip up somewhere else. I'll just give you a few trends. Georgia, 6-2 against the spread the last 8 meetings. The underdog is 6-0 against the spread in the last 6 meetings. And one more, the over, 6-1-1 last 8 meetings. So generally, this looks at underdog and the over in this one. I can't put my money on Georgia. I'm sorry. I can't do it today.
No, I can't either. And, you know, Bama offensively, I don't care how good you are defensively. Bama's going to score points. Stetson Bennett is going to have to score points for Georgia. He's just going to have to. And I have not, he put up 44 against Tennessee last week. That was a big win. I wonder if Stetson Bennett in that Georgia offense is going to be able to score as they need to keep up with Alabama, because I think Alabama's still probably going to score 30-plus points today.
Quickly, Dan, are the 49ers getting undervalued as 3-point dogs at home to the Rams?
Yeah, I think a divisional game, you open as a 3-point favorite. The look ahead was a 3-point favorite. Now you're a 3-point dog at home. I think there is legitimate value on the Niners at this line, especially if you can find a 3.5 later on in the week.
Do you see the Chiefs losing back-to-back games going to Buffalo on a short week, the number 5?
I think it's possible. Buffalo is coming off a terrible loss, and so are the Chiefs.
If those corners aren't playing, they're done.
I agree. Buffalo needs a rebound in the biggest way. They were probably looking ahead last week a little bit. I wonder. Kansas City has been bad past 2 weeks. I mean, really, if Cam Newton is playing for the Patriots, they probably lose.
Sure, you're right. That could be 3 in a row here.
This could be 3 clunkers in a row for them, and then we're really talking about, you know, kind of a hangover from, you know, their opening start. Yeah.
And then finally, Cardinals, Cowboys. I got nothing. I feel like it's going to be just a high-scoring game, bad defenses.
Before we go, Brady Rogers, 425 on Sunday.
I got
Sunday.
A pick on the old Podski.
You did not give it officially.
Oh, I didn't? All right, well, let's do it.
All right, Jeff.
Give me the Green Bay Packers. -1.5.
PP.
Ding, ding.
There you go.
And you know what? Give me NC State over Duke -4.5.
PP.
PP.
There you go.
And any others you want to throw out there before we get out of here?
I'm good. I'm going to post some points today.
All right.
I'm going to do that. So there you go.
I didn't give one on UCF Memphis, but watch on Twitter. I'll give something out on that.
Yeah, I'm surprised we didn't really dive too much into
that game
today. That is a Joe Murray special.
That's a good one there. All right. He is Dan Lifshatz. I'm Joe Murray. Be sure to check out this podcast. It will be on 985thesportshub.com and our podcast that we did on Thursday night as well.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.